You're listening to AdLib, a podcast for the advertising nerd in you. Recorded and produced at Push Button Productions in downtown Orlando. Let's see what's in store for you today.
Brands promoting themselves through the death of celebs. Ooh, death.
Tantalizing topics.
Celebrities.
And then we're going to be talking about SNL eliminating 30% of their ads during their show and what that means for the rest of the broadcast industry.
Tell the people what 30% means, Yash.
30?
3 out of every 10?
There you go. All
right.
That's a good description.
I can do mathematics.
I didn't do good at math.
Brian, beat you right to the front.
And the third thing that I thought we'd talk about is there are a number of male brands focusing on reaching females, which is fascinating to me, but apparently it's effective.
So. You spend the majority of your weekends trying to reach females, too.
That is a fact.
Brian wrote the article.
So I am an expert.
Yes, nothing better than three guys in a room talking about how to reach women.
Although, can I be considered an expert if I'm only rarely successful? Well,
all that, plus useless commentary and tasteless jokes on AdLib. Here are John, Yash, and Brian.
Ah, welcome back. How you guys doing? How's everybody doing today?
Not bad.
You know, if Harry was here, he would criticize your show open.
Yeah?
Shouldn't
ask a question?
If Harry was here, but
what
he's
would
not.
Harry, what would Harry
Who
say?
Who says he shouldn't ask a question?
Idiot.
Is that a rule that I don't know about?
That was a thing that he always used to say on air checks.
To start the break, you're not supposed to ask a question?
No, you weren't supposed to ask rhetorical questions on radio.
It's not a rhetorical question.
Did you actually care about my week?
Absolutely.
I think that doubtful.
I think our listening audience. Levy, do you care about Yash's week?
I do care about Yash's
Absolutely.
Week.
You wouldn't be listening if you didn't.
My week is fine.
Yeah?
Feeling good. Yeah. I sounded like Eeyore there, but my...
My week is fine. I'm okay.
I was okay. I was in Memphis this week. I had a really bad sinus issues while I was there, so I wasn't that happy to stay, though my family was great.
Matzah?
Do they still do matzah balls, or do they come in some other shape or format that I haven't heard
of? I made some matzah balls last night, as a matter of fact. I was going to invite... you want to go over for lunch? I'll take you. Give you some nice matzo ball soup.
Do you have latkes or whatever they're called?
Latkes? Yeah, I do have latkes. They're not made.
Sounds delicious.
What kind of mischief did you get into?
My weekend was interesting. Well, as you know, I usually go to the coast to clear my head and fill my bloodstream with rum, basically, and cover my body in sunshine.
Awesome.
But, you know, I had one of those moments. You know, every time you go in the water, which I do a lot, there's inherent risk, right? I had one of these moments where I saw this gray silhouette in the wave in front of me.
Oh, boy.
And I'm certainly not a proponent of releasing raw sewage into the ocean, but I might have when I realized that it was a shark and not a dolphin. But, you know, as soon as my pulse hit about 220, he kind of turned and swam away. And
how far were you from getting out of the water at this point? Because they're getting closer to the shoreline. They used to be pretty far out, and now they're...
I was probably in water about chest deep, but at that beach, that probably means it's a good 75 yards from the shore. I mean, you're not going to outrun or outswim. You're just going to have to punch him in the eye. But he apparently wasn't hungry, or at least I did not look particularly delicious on that day. So,
Who could blame him?
All I did was, soil my shorts.
And in the, real quick, in the unending saga of Brian's car... For those of you who don't know, Brian has a car that has been worked on since January.
January, yeah.
Where are we now? Are we close?
That's a good new segment.
We're two.
What's happening with Brian's car?
We're two pieces away. One little piece of paper. Yeah. One's a gasket of some sort for like a thermostat housing. I don't even know what they are. And the other one is some little piece of plastic thing that probably costs 79 cents, but has to come from the dealer, of course. So they'll charge probably like $25. But then allegedly it's just a matter of reassembling. Because, you know, and this is amazing because it's only taken 4 months or so.
4 months.
4 months, yeah.
And you are two parts away.
So I'm like an entirely different person. I don't even remember what car I drive anymore.
You're two parts away from topless driving again.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on with Donovan's race car dreams?
Little
5-year-old race car driver.
Yeah.
Needs $250,000 if anybody wants to donate.
Yeah. We are taking sponsorship opportunities or there are sponsorship opportunities available. We are in the process of looking at cars, and there's a board meeting coming up that I want to go to and see how things work and how they run things. It's a fascinating world. Bubba the Love Sponge, actually, he invested like $500,000 into his kids' racing careers over like the span. So
that's like pocket change for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, we'll keep rolling on that for sure.
Speaking of sponsorships and advertising related news,
Segway
Sam.
Yeah. So the recent passing of Prince, I guess it's recent, has, you know, some people are upset that brands, I guess in their eyes, take advantage of the death and they promote it. So I don't know. I think, if someone at the brand had a passion for somebody, and they passed away, a celebrity or singer, and they want to throw a tribute out there, by all means. If it's tastefully done. So like, you know, if Chevy did a spot with the back end of a 63 Corvette, which they're not trying to sell because those are all sold. Okay. And it said, "Baby, that was much too fast." And it just had the dates, the year he was born, 1958 to 2016. And it wasn't like visit Chevy.com. It wasn't, you know, selling the Chevy Cruze at starting at $15,999. Okay,
yeah. So obviously it was the little red Corvette reference.
Correct. Right.
And you brought up an interesting point because I think it's important that you don't have a call to action. You can't act like you're selling something.
It's got to make sense, and that's the thing that I think makes me a little like uneasy about something like Cheerios. Does it make sense for Cheerios to put an ad out for Prince? Like, it's not like Prince had some kind of affinity for Cheerios. Now, he apparently had a thing for pancakes. So if Aunt Jemima wanted to...
Bisquick.
Yeah, Bisquick. I can hear you. If Bisquick... that is not racist. If Bisquick wanted to put out an ad, I think it would kind of be funny and cute, but again, no calls to action. You know, if they wanted to do something like that. But it's just there's some brands are getting into it. I'm like,
well, Hamburger Helper did it, right?
Yeah. Did you see what they tweeted?
What
did they tweet?
They tweeted, it said, "A glove can only take so much sadness," right? Because the Hamburger Helper thing is the little hand with the glove on it, which might have been appropriate
for Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
But, you know.
Maybe they got him confused.
Yeah.
Well, I just think a lot of the social media marketing managers at these brands are sitting around going, "We have to be culturally relevant, and we have to engage with our listenership, and it's like, or with our audience." And do you think? I mean, you really think that Hamburger Helper has a stake in Prince at all? Do you think they're the people who consume Hamburger Helper particularly consumed a lot of Prince's music? I don't think that makes sense. It seems like they're just forcing themselves or injecting themselves into a cultural conversation where it's not necessary.
Now, Tuna Helper, that's a different...
Absolutely. Tuna Helper would make all the sense in the world.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you have to be absolutely convinced that you have a good, tasteful idea, or you should just not touch it.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is they have to be, you know, given the pace of social media, you have to be so quick into the marketplace with that you don't have time to focus group it.
Do you think brands are on death watch?
Oh, absolutely.
I was just going to say, what a fun project for interns.
Absolutely. They are totally on death watch.
Of all the celebrities you think might die in the next couple
weeks.
Keep an
eye out. Just let us know who dies.
Yeah.
You got it.
I am absolutely sure that there is a department at some ad agency somewhere that has like Death Watch on their clients, and they have like, I guarantee you, there's already stuff written for Betty White.
Oh, what about Keith Richards? You know, I mean, there's probably 100 tweets already composed for him.
There's probably been stuff for Keith Richards since 1975 before social media even appeared.
He's gonna outlive us all. People will forget what Twitter is, and he'll still be around.
Who would be the first brand to wish him well?
Keith Richards?
Yes.
Who should or who will?
Should or will.
It's got to be whatever brand of cigarettes he smokes, don't you think?
I don't know. He probably smokes them all.
Are cigarettes still a thing?
Only for him. He doesn't vape either. He does the real, you know, the actual...
He still smokes?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God. I had no idea he still smoked.
I don't know who would tweet out for him.
He has a special little tray on stage that I guess the roadies put there that has like packs of cigarettes and lighters and ashtrays and stuff, and it's constant.
You know who else? Steven Tyler. I bet he's on a bunch of people's lists. He looks so frail.
He looks great now. What are you talking about?
So, I don't know. I think, you know, just circling back on this, I think that as long as, you know, as long as it's tastefully done, I really don't see an issue with
well,
it.
Well, I don't think anybody does. The problem is, how do you regulate what's tasteful? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure a lot of the ones who recently got blasted for Prince thought it was tasteful before they posted it.
I believe in the case of Cheerios and Hamburger Helper, those tweets were deleted. But of course, you know, once it's out on the internet, it's there forever.
And what do you do
at least until Al Gore dies? But you know,
it feels like there's a race to be the first one to post sympathies,
and you risk doing something that is
stupid,
yeah, or inappropriate.
However,
or both.
I don't know. If I was the one who was dead, not that I would. I mean, at that point, who cares? I mean, really, like, who cares? I wouldn't give a crap.
Yeah.
Would you?
No.
If Hamburger Helper wanted to use your memory to sell a few more boxes of beefy macaroni, would you?
That stuff's delicious. Go ahead.
Pour it on.
Absolutely. That's my topic.
All right.
Over and out.
I want to talk about SNL because they are...
Who are they?
It's this comedy show. I don't think you've ever heard of them, but they are eliminating 30% of their ads during the show. You know, Lorne Michaels is...
That's 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10. Lorne Michaels is quoted in this article on Ad Age basically saying that SNL over the years has just lost some of its content time due to increased advertising. They're basically eliminating two commercial breaks during the show. What is it, a 90-minute show? I think it's 90 minutes.
I think so, yeah.
And they're going to replace it with advertising pods, this thing they're calling advertising pods, which is essentially brands, up to 6 brands a season will be able to inject themselves into some of the show's bits, which I kind of want to see how that's going to work with product placement. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just going to feel terrible.
Well, I mean, if they're able to do it the way they do their commercials are fantastic.
Yeah.
SNL's commercials. I mean, it's probably one of the most, you know, looked for things on the interwebs.
Yeah.
So if they're able to do it that way, I think it'll be a success.
Yeah.
And I think if you're one of those advertisers that gets in one of these pods, I think it is a cool opportunity to just like really play with it and make it real obvious. Like, yes, we know our product is here because we're paying to have this product here. And if you can make fun of that or make it funny in some way, you know, I think it's a decent way to sell. I mean, people realize they're being sold to anyway.
Yeah.
So why not have fun with it instead of cram it down people's throats?
Well, I also think that it draws attention to SNL. Their ratings are flat. So
still good, though.
I think it's still flat. I mean, and they have a younger audience.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good way to try something out and see if it sticks.
Now, as embarrassed as I am to admit that I watched an episode of New Girl the other night. And
that's a show?
Yeah.
It's not one of those subscription websites.
No,
right?
No.
Yash wouldn't pay.
It's Zooey Deschanel. It is a pretty good show. It is a pretty good show. It's on Fox. Anyway, the point is they had a very clear Ford endorsement in the middle of the show. Like very clearly paid to have a conversation about the Ford that they were in and talk about fuel economy and all this garbage.
That's terrible.
You know, they do it with a wink and a smile.
Are you saying that because it wasn't Chevy?
No. The show does a lot of things with a wink and a smile. And, you know, it can be cute, but I think at some point that's going to wear out its welcome. I mean, brands are finally getting on the bandwagon of the fact that the consumer is not an idiot and the consumer knows when they're being sold to. But at some point it's just annoying.
Well, the official explanation from the network was that it's an attempt to make the viewing experience more consumer-friendly.
Yeah.
I guess that means by having less breaks.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, for me to stay up and watch SNL, I don't even know if I'm in their target demo, but for me to stay up and watch SNL, I got to be in a mood. And so...
Got to have a few captains in you?
Yeah.
Captain and diets?
So, I don't know, like... Most of the stuff now on SNL, you watch online. I mean, it's like someone posts it on Facebook and says, this is really funny, and you watch it. So yeah. I'm just curious as to how this is even going to go over, if it's even going to make a difference. They're removing two commercial breaks per episode.
Right.
That's a lot.
Well, I'm curious to know how many people actually watch SNL live, because probably in the last 10 years, I can count on...
Saturday Night Live live?
Yeah. I can count on one hand the amount of times I've actually watched SNL live, as opposed to coming in on Monday morning and somebody being like, hey, did you see this awesome skit?
Well, you're a single young buck. You're out...
Man about town.
Yeah, you're out and about. You might catch the last 30 minutes, maybe.
No.
And you wouldn't even think to turn it on, would you?
No.
On a Saturday night?
No. I'm far too inebriated to watch TV when I get home on a Saturday night.
And Brian doesn't watch TV at all on the weekends.
No. I try to watch the waves crashing in the sand.
Yep.
And the coconut shrimp appearing in the little tray in front of me.
He just wants to be left alone and on the beach.
So I'm curious if we'll see success here and if it'll roll out to different shows.
I would think so. I mean, you know, God knows. I used to consume a lot of NBC 10 or 15 years ago. I thought they had a great lineups, great shows. They were doing innovative things. But my God, it really just is terrible to watch that network now.
WNBC.
Ding, ding.
God, what is up with their programming? Like, all of their shows. I don't know who runs the programming at that network, but it's terrible. I mean, ABC for as cheesy as their shows can get, so much better.
Yeah, so I watch Modern
CBS.
Family.
Yeah.
That's ABC.
Yeah.
Nashville.
ABC.
ABC. And that show's terrible, but I do watch it.
Yeah. Because you're a 40-year-old woman?
Yes. Speaking of.
Yeah.
Speaking of 40-year-old women.
Yes. Let's move on.
That's the second segue.
Let's move on, segue, Saul.
Segue. I picked this topic, male brands focused on reaching females. Now, let me just throw out one interesting thing that I found, because I am focused on reaching females. Check this out. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought? Anybody want to guess what percentage of the NFL's viewing audience is female?
30%.
20% seems like a realistic number.
According to the interwebs, 46%.
Wow.
It's up 18.7% in the last decade. Huh. So, and you know, and that becomes a factor with the way the NFL deals with, you know, some of the behavior issues that they've had and things like that, because they want to try to be sensitive to their female viewers. But, you know, it just means that that's kind of a good example of a brand that has either purposely or out of necessity had to be, you know, had to focus on reaching the female demographic and being responsive to their thoughts, needs, desires, whatever. Adidas is another one, which you never would have thought of. No. Harley Davidson.
What's the percentage of women who are buying Harleys?
That's a good question.
That we don't have the answer to.
I can tell you, when you troll up and down the beach, Levy, do you want to see how many females are riding Harleys? But when you troll up and down the coast, there is these whole troops of people, you know, the weekend warriors on their Harleys whatever, and there's a lot of women. It's a surprising amount of women.
Well, we live in the right part of the country to probably, you know, talk about this, because being in Florida, I mean, just between Bike Week and Biketoberfest and all the activities in Daytona, I mean, it's clearly, well, it's male-dominated, but there's clearly a large percentage of women who at least buy into the lifestyle and culture.
I will say, from a personal standpoint, I have seen more women get into the sport of football just since I started watching in the 90s. Like, my mom and sister absolutely wanted nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. And then right around, like, the mid-2000s, like, they're both fully involved now. And even my wife is now involved in watching the sport, because, I mean, we all gather around the same team. But still, I mean, we all gathered around that team just as passionately 20 years ago, and there was no interest whatsoever.
You know what did it? The jersey dress.
I think this is legitimate. Fantasy football, do you think that has a role? Specifically with the NFL. But does that get more people involved?
None of three said women that I mentioned are doing fantasy, but, you know, I'm sure it's...
You're in a bunch of fantasy leagues. How many women are involved?
Zero.
In all of them?
Well, okay, no.
There's the one.
There's one in Charlotte who, She actually won it 2 years ago. She's doing it for her husband.
When I think of brands trying to reach women, I think of Dick's. Dick's Sporting Goods, I'm talking about.
Yes.
They were among the first to...
Pretty sure you think of Dick's more often than that.
Sponsor the Women's College World Series. You started seeing Dick's Sporting Goods appear, and I thought, well, that's interesting, but it kind of makes sense. And apparently they have a new line of women's fitness apparel.
Ooh.
For whom Carrie Underwood is the spokesperson.
Man, she's interesting so choice. Fine.
I got a number for you guys for the Harley.
All right.
So apparently they don't disclose it, but they're saying that they have 62% of the female heavyweight motorcycle market, which is only 7% of their Harley bikes.
So they're saying that women...
So the market for the U.S. heavyweight motorcycle sales last year in women was 12%. For all of motorcycles, like heavyweight motorcycles, which is pretty much what.
No, I thought he was saying heavyweight women.
No, the big bikes. But so Harley is claiming they have 62% of that market, which puts them at 6-7% of the Harley bikes that they sell every year.
So 7% of the Harley bikes, roughly.
But that's just the bikes. I mean, you could talk about merchandise.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff that goes along with it, because even if they're not riding, I mean, you know, driving the bike. They could be just riding with their husband or boyfriend or whatever.
And they're buying the chaps and the jackets and the do-rags or whatever they call it. Bandana? Is that the official?
Yeah.
The boots.
The day that I see a big burly biker man riding bitch behind his wife, that's the day you know that women have entered the world of motorcycling.
Yeah.
Would you ride bitch behind your wife?
Are you even allowed to say that anymore? Can you say that? I don't know.
Would you ride behind? I don't know how else to. What is the other term? Is there another term for it?
The answer is no.
You would not.
I would not. Just because I don't know. There's something about a motorcycle where you really only trust yourself in that position, because it is a unique situation. For
you don't
sure.
trust female drivers. Is that what you're trying to say?
God, you're such a misogynist.
I wouldn't trust. A dude, I wouldn't trust a female. I only trust myself on a motorcycle.
How about you, Brian? I bet Brian would ride bitch behind somebody on a motorcycle if she was hot enough.
You will never get me on a motorcycle, ever. None. I was on it. Well, I did that once. I got hit by a car, and that was the end of that.
All right. How about a bicycle built for two?
No.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do we anticipate any negatives to expanding the audience?
Misogynistic dudes pulling away from a brand because they feel like, you know.
Have we seen anything like that in the past? I don't know.
I can't imagine. I mean, would you stop buying your favorite product just because they had commercials targeting women?
I think the brand runs the risk of sounding not genuine if they don't do it correctly. I'm sure that there's a lot of agencies out there that are positioned specifically to help brands break into the female marketplace. I'm sure they're not doing this without research, but... You know, if you don't know how to speak to women, you should probably find somebody who does.
Right.
You can't speak to them the same way you speak to men, no?
No.
Women are people, too, last time I checked.
Apparently they've got their own minds and everything.
Alyssa Milano had her own NFL line. I don't know if she still does. I'm sure
does.
But that was a big thing.
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
Like 5 years ago it started. Yeah. Big deal.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And in the ad, it was like... The girl shows up with her Jets jersey on, and the girl opens the door, and she's wearing a Dolphin jersey, and they give each other the stink eye. It was like a, hey, we're into the sport too, and here's our own line of women wear.
How did I not know this? And I love her. She doesn't even make me think of Tony Danza anymore. I just think of her all by herself and not on that show.
I watched an episode of Who's the Boss.
Oh yeah, that show.
Mona.
Man, Mona.
Let's talk about
such
Mona.
Such sass on Mona. She was the original sassy bitch.
Is she the boss?
You know, I think that's the point. Who was the boss, John? Was it the kids? Was it Angela? Obvious choice.
Has to be Mona.
I don't know.
The name like Mona, you're not gonna fuck with her.
No.
That's a fact.
Yep.
I just found another thing that I had written down about Mick Ultra.
What about it?
Oh, yeah, Mick Ultra.
Has increased their female customer base by 10% since 2014, so just in the last couple of years.
Yeah, now,
I don't recall seeing ads targeted to them. Did they say that they were targeting women?
No, they're not. I don't think. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me from their advertising that they're targeting women or men. They're targeting a fit lifestyle.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you can't order a Michelob at a bar and not get a look from somebody. You can't. Every time you order a Michelob, either the bartender or somebody next to you is going to look at you and go, "Really, dude?
Would you rather drink a Michelob or a blueberry daiquiri?"
Ooh. Well, I can peel the label off of Michelob.
They make blueberry daiquiri? So how do I not know about these things?
I just made that up.
Oh, really?
I don't know. That's...
I have consumed a Michelob before.
It's water.
I was tailgating at a sporting event, and I ran out of the beer that I brought. Oh. I don't know how that happened. But so when I did decide that I could probably have a couple more, all there was Michelob. So it was better than nothing for me at the time.
That's your beer of choice, I feel, right, John?
Only slightly.
It is, for a couple of reasons. It's kind of like when you drink Diet Coke and you go to Coke, it's super sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you drink Michelob and you go to even a light or a full beer, it's a little overwhelming, I would say, and it can bloat you like crazy. And also, if you're going to go on a long period of drinking, if you're going to a football game or a race and you're going to be, you know, consuming beverages for a long period of time, Ultra should be your beer of choice because you can consume more Ultras than you can other beers because it's just watered down.
I was going to say, you're just basically hydrating.
Exactly.
I just try to pace myself so that the input matches the output. Every trip to the men's room results in another beer purchase, and you just keep that cycle going, and it works amazingly well.
Yeah, you're a man of experience, Brian. I haven't quite figured that stuff out yet.
Lately, I'm just drinking just bourbon.
Straight?
On the rocks.
That's awesome.
I tried to drink some scotch a couple weeks ago, and it was it's pretty terrible.
Speaking of, Jim Beam, what's her name on the ad?
Ooh. Yeah, I was just thinking of that. Because she's another one. If she sold NFL products, I would buy them now that I, you know, I guess I know about Melissa Milano.
Mm.
What's her name again?
Mila Kunis.
Yeah, that one.
Do you think she drinks that?
I believe it. I think a lot of girls drink. I think way more girls drink bourbon and hard stuff than either we give them credit for or than is visible. I don't know. There's a lot of girls who will drink whiskey straight.
God bless them.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
I think it's fantastic.
That's a hot thing to look.
That
honestly,
is a hot thing.
To look down a bar and see someone, you know.
Ladies, tweet us your drink preferences.
It can be Michelob Ultra. Don't take it personally.
I don't know that we have a Twitter handle.
At PB Productions.
Oh, there you go. True. On a totally tangential note, which probably won't even we'll edit out.
That's a good word.
I was at I went to synagogue last week with my brother. And this is Passover service. And halfway through the service, my brother, like, nudges me and
says... You ordered a Michelob Light?
No.
Oh.
He nudges me and says, "You want to do a shot?" And, you know, if you're not Jewish, this seems totally weird. Like, you would never probably do this at church, I imagine.
Sounds awesome.
But my brother says, "You want a shot?" And I was like, "Of what?" And he's like,
"Matzo ball soup?"
He's like, "Well, they usually do scotch, but it's Passover, so I don't know what they're going to do." And, like... This is right as the rabbi is starting to give his sermon. So the first part of the service is done. The rabbi is starting to give his sermon. Like six or seven dudes kind of get up and start walking out. And they look at my brother like, "Do you want to come?" And he had the kids. So he's like, "No." But I ended up going with them. And we like hung out for like 25 minutes and did a bunch of shots of vodka. And then we started to walk back. And some guy pokes his head in and goes, "Oh, no, he's still talking." We go back. We do another shot of vodka. Keep talking, come back, and he's finally done, and everybody walks back in, sits down, and is just drunk for the rest of service.
I was gonna say, how ripped up were you?
Not that bad. It wasn't that. I mean, it was potato vodka. It was harsh. It was like rubbing alcohol. It was terrible.
Like a half-gallon flask? Who concealed this? And
it was no, the temple keeps it.
Really?
It's a mitzvah to get drunk on the Sabbath.
Be Jewish?
I would say that potato vodka is actually pretty smooth. I tried some.
Rubbing alcohol, it's terrible.
Really?
I think it sucks.
I mean, you probably got the cheap guide.
Well, they usually have scotch, but because of Passover, they couldn't.
For once, Brian agrees with religion.
I watched a rabbi puke into his hat one time.
Wait, not the yarmulke thing. How
do
you say that?
This is yarmulke, but...
Not the motorcycles.
Not the Yamahas.
Yes, yes.
Yarmulkes. No, he actually, he was an Orthodox rabbi, so he had on like the big black coat and the big, it's like it's very Russian, like the Russian looking rabbis. So they wear a yarmulke, which is the little hat, and then they wear like a top hat. And literally he's standing there, and this was,
another name for a topless bar.
This was at one of the Jewish holidays where you celebrate the giving of the Torah. He's standing there talking to somebody, and he takes his hat off, and I mean, like, upchucks into it.
That's fantastic.
In like epic fashion. Like he didn't have time. It was an outdoor event. He didn't.
I was gonna say, well, if this was an outdoor, happened, why would you just yak onto the
happened,
ground?
It happened so quickly. He didn't so have human. Time to find a receptacle or even move the 10 feet.
What is wrong with the God's green earth to just vomit there on the ground?
He was on a patio. I don't think he wanted to vomit on
his
patio.
Piss the ants off.
And there's about 400 people around. And then his wife was like, oh, well.
There he goes again.
I guess we're going to have to buy him another hat.
That's so rabbi.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
How did you not laugh hysterically?
We did. Jews got it, man. I'm telling you, I'm totally into this.
Did you tell what he had for dinner? Was it matzo ball soup?
It's whatever we all had for dinner. It was a big party.
That's great.
Puking rabbis.
Yeah.
That ties into the show concept.
If you've seen a puking rabbi, tweet us.
That's a great name for a punk band.
It is.
Puking rabbi, yeah.
It's not my favorite punk band name, but it's right up.
All right, so I guess we're done.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Listenership.
What are we talking about next time, everybody?
We'll find out.
Stuff.
Let's tease next week's show. Oh, we don't prepare that far in advance.
Well, it's topical. So
something could happen.
So is the ointment that my doctor prescribed.
Awesome.
See y'all next week.
See ya.
Good night.
You've just wasted part of your day listening to this nonsense. AdLib is recorded and produced at Push Button Productions in downtown Orlando. Visit pushbuttonproductions.com. Sign up for the RSS feed and come back for more next week.